Welcome to the Daily VFit Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm John Ramos, and joining me today in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello, hello.
Hello, we want to welcome all of our radio listeners, those that are watching us on Christian Television Network, CTN. My goodness, we have a program in store for you. I want to encourage you to listen to the previous programs. You know, we're four programs back to back. And, of course, you can listen to them all and, you know, on all the different devices and ways that you do listen to the program or watch it on TV. Mm-hmm. But, my goodness, we talked in the previous program about Israel, and I want to encourage you, you know, CUFI, Christians United for Israel, they're having their Washington Summit July 21st through the 22nd. Go to their website and check it out. Maybe that's something that you want to be a part of and get educated. Sign up for it if the Lord's leading you. But one, just to keep that in the forefront for you, we want to stand with Israel. But, you know, one of our programs we talked about and we had a tribute about Steve Hill, the evangelist that was used mightily during the Brownsville Revival and outpouring. And this was the tribute that was played at his funeral. Some of us here at the studios, we had the opportunity to be there. To experience and to show our respect and to honor this man of God. And, man, what a moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, going back.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Totally powerful.
Just amazing to see mm-hmm. all the connectivity and folks and just, mm-hmm. You know, it was interesting to see, you know, what was said about Steve. But you didn't even have to listen to, you know, Steve's ministry and what people were saying, because oftentimes if you know those that were there during the revival, you know, I was seeing people that were touched during that revival mm-hmm. and I knew what had happened to them, what God brought them out, and every person yeah. was like a testimony. Oh my goodness, I remember your life and what God did here, and you're yeah. ministering the Lord, and you're a missionary, and you're a father and a mother, and you're raising your children in the fear of the Lord, and oh my goodness, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, you know, Steve Hill did his job. He ran his race.
He was faithful.
He was faithful. And he's going to get his crown.
Yeah.
You know, and he's going to give it to Jesus, is what he said. You know, I'm sure he is going to give it back. I know I will give everything back to him. But, you know, it's about us right now. You know, we're still here. Mm-hmm. We're not with Steve. We're not with Jesus, but we're still here on earth. And it's about us running our race. It's mm-hmm. about us being faithful right now. It's about us doing what God has called us to do with the great, you know, great commandment and the great commission, to tell everyone about the Lord and to be faithful in these days and not to change the message, to preach all the letters in red. You know, it's still about the blood. It is still about the cross, and it's still about, you know, turning our hearts to Jesus. And it's amazing how, you know, listen, you don't hear messages often. Depends what you listen to. But, I mean, in general, about sin, about repentance. Mm-hmm. Listen, Jesus, you know, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
Right.
That's John's testimony was. Mm-hmm. Behold, yes. Look, he's upon us. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get the sin out. We got to get the sin out. And it comes with bold preaching and sharing about the cross, the blood, and repentance. It has not changed. It has not changed. So don't change your message. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, just change your audience. If they're not listening, go to the next.
Yeah.
And those folks will hear, and their hearts will be penetrated, and their hearts will turn to God. But again, we want to have that for you. We will make sure that tribute is available for you on the torch so that you can see it. And we encourage you to share it. A lot of folks, you know, over 4 million people participated in the Brownsville Revival. Those were those estimates, 4.5 million folks. Uh-huh. And Steve, you know, continued to minister. I'm amazed at the amount of people that have heard of that ministry and what occurred during the revival and how Jesus was lifted up, and as well as I'm amazed at those who haven't heard about it. So don't assume that someone has heard about it, But it really makes me appreciate, you know, I wanted to end the segment, but really it makes me appreciate these men of integrity, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick and Brother Steve Hill, you know, the men of integrity, you know. I mean, these men didn't lift themselves up at all. And so we're not lifting up a man. We're honoring these men who weathered, you know, they were pillars. These men were strong oaks in the kingdom that many people, you know, the many in the body of Christ were able to hang in their limbs, if you know what I mean. They were able to, because men were willing to stand unwavering and paid a significant price. And we've shared segments, on the program. You want to go into the torch and listen to them about redigging the wells and honoring those who have gone before us. It's so important because we didn't arrive here alone. There's men and women of God who have paved with lives of integrity, with faithful ministry and service to the Lord, and we want to remember those who have gone before us.
Amen.
It's the right thing and the godly thing to do because it was God. You know what I mean? It is God, and to honor them is to honor God. You know, I want to talk about in a abiding moment about testing, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what will happen during a test and how faithful the Lord is. You know, sometimes you don't realize everything that's going on in the moment. And it's one of the things that I'm always praying about is that, Lord, help me to seize the moment. I want to be totally aware and present. And there's nothing like going through something and realizing, oh, my goodness, that was such a significant moment. You know, where was I? Where were you? Oh, you missed it? You were there? And, you know, you want to be fully present all the time and aware of what's happening in your life, in the lives of others, in your midst. And what God is saying and what God is doing. I mean, he said you can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So God's not silent.
Right.
He's continually speaking. The question is, are we tuning in to what he is saying?
Mm-hmm. Are we listening?
Are we listening? Big difference, right?
That was huge.
Deuteronomy 8:2 says this. And I love Deuteronomy by the people of God, you know, Old Testament. You know, by the way, the entire Bible is for us today, okay? But Deuteronomy 8:2 says, Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. There's something about remembering. That word remember, I don't know how many times it's in Deuteronomy, but you have to remember. Remember means bring back to the membrane. Bring back to the mind. Remember. Bring it back. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order for you to know what was in your heart. Whether or not you would keep his commands, he humbled you, causing you to hunger. I mean, that messes a whole lot of people's theology up. He humbled you to causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known. God gave you provision outside of what you even knew existed. Imagine that.
Right.
Listen, don't think you have God figured out. Don't think that you know everything, what's about to happen. You know, that's really frustrating, I would imagine, to God. Because we don't know what the next second holds. We were talking about in a previous program about the suddenlies of God. You don't know what the next second holds in your life. So to act presumptuously as if you do know is prideful. You're setting yourself up for a tremendous fall. Right? So he says, I fed you, feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You know, and that's interesting. It's interesting that number 40 is interesting because he says, you know, he led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble and to test you. And that word 40, the number 40 rather, is an interesting number, and it's you'll find it all throughout the Bible, but it's a number used for testing and judgment. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about the number 40, you think about how it rained during Noah's time for 40 days and 40 nights. You know, Israel ate manna for 40 years. Moses was with God on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The spies searched out Canaan for 40 days. I mean, they say that 40 stripes were a maximum whipping penalty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 40 stripes, my goodness. I don't want to get whipped once, not right. 40, you know. And you look, Goliath now presented himself to Israel for 40 days. Saul reigned for 40 years. David reigned for 40 years. You know, Jesus fasted for 40 days and nights.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was tempted 40 days. Jesus remained on earth for 40 days after his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 40, 40, 40. So what? It's testing.
Mm-hmm.
It's testing. There's a testing period in your life. And so you don't want to despise the test. It always comes. And the thing about the test, it always reveals what you have learned or what you have not learned. You know what I'm saying? The test is coming. The test is coming. And in our journey, because, you know, walking with God is a journey, Pat. You know,
oh, yeah.
I mean, this is not a dash, if you will, right, Steve? This is not a sprint.
No, not at all.
It's a journey.
Mm-mm.
It's a journey. And our journey with the Lord, I mean, the whole idea is that, God wants us to grow, right? He wants us to mature until Christ is fully formed in us. That will take a lifetime, probably, and then some. We have all eternity for Christ to be formed in us. But it's a journey that we begin to walk out. And it's only through the test that we realize some important things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I don't know too many people who are looking forward to tests, right?
Uh-uh.
I mean, but they're so necessary. I mean, God took them. I mean, look, he specifically took them through the desert for 40 days to teach them, to show something, to allow them to go through experience where they will be humbled for a reason, so that their heart would be revealed to them, so that they will know what's on the inside. Listen, God doesn't need the test. I mean, Jesus has passed all the tests, okay?
Right.
Straight A's. He's passed all the tests. But he allows us to go through tests so that we will know what's in our heart. And he humbled them. He brought them into a humbling place where they would be hungry. I mean, that's, talk about, you know, test there. I mean, being hungry is no joke, you know, and we say that, but I don't believe anyone in America. I mean, you can get some food in America, you know, a third of the world, by the way, a third of the world goes to bed with their belly growling. But I mean, you know. So we experience maybe momentary levels of hunger, you know,
right,
where we miss a meal or maybe a couple meals.
Mm-hmm.
But there's people in the world that have missed days,
mm-hmm,
maybe even weeks,
mm-hmm,
without eating,
mm-hmm,
you know, and it just really causes you to have compassion. But God allowed his people to go through this. That was God, okay? So don't, you know, he allowed it. And why? So that he can provide them with a provision that neither their fathers nor them means. They didn't have a grid for it. They didn't have a grid for it. And one of the things that we can be guilty of is coming to a place where we think we've got God figured out and we know what he's getting ready to do.
Right.
But, you know, listen, you don't have God figured out, you know. The creator, he's the one that created us, and that little thing we have is called the brain. You know, he created that, you
mm-hmm
know. And so to think that we figured him out is to insult him.
Right.
And sometimes he will allow us to go through these testings, not to mess with us, just to shake us up. And, you know, he has a plan. God's writing a story, I often say. Don't mess it up. You know, we're just, you know, actors in his story,
mm-hmm,
and we act according to his script. You know, we want to walk in conjunction with them. We don't want to pick up the paint and a paintbrush and our pen and write ourselves in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to listen to say, God, what do you want from me today? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? Jesus understood that the Father was writing a story and he did nothing or said nothing that the Father wasn't saying or doing.
Right.
Why should we be any different? We come back from this break, we're going to talk about a time of testing and what testing produces in your life. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's true that men and women are different, and sometimes in a marriage that leads to some challenges. On today's Focus on the Family Minute, Dr. Julie Slattery recalls how she had to learn to let go and follow her husband's lead.
There are so many things that Mike adds to my life, and I love the fact that he's more laid back than I am. He helps me relax. He helps me laugh. He helps me not take life so seriously. And I had to start to look towards him in leadership in the areas that he was already strong and say, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm a little compulsive about things, and I need to let go and learn to let and encourage Mike to lead in the ways that he's naturally gifted. And for me, that was a huge paradigm shift, and I started to know what it was like to have him lead in his strengths rather than me trying to make him into who I wanted him to be.
Learn how to reduce conflict and have a stronger marriage. We've got help for you at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
You know, when I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, the Lord, our God, that when he was with his people, and we could read the Word of God, and he shows us, he demonstrated his ability to provide for his people in the wilderness. The first thing he did when he delivered Israel out of bondage and slavery was to take them in a place that they had to totally see that he was going to provide for them no matter what. They were surrounded by conditions with no water and no provision, and they just had to trust God. They had to abide with God. And think about that. And God demonstrated his ability to meet their needs despite what was going on in their economy, in their ecology, with their environment, with the heat and the weather and all that. As a matter of fact, listen to Brother John Kilpatrick with Church of His Presence, and I'll be right back.
And the other day, the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, tell the church, son, when you get back up to preach, he said, tell the church that these things are going to get worse. He said, but tell them, for those that will live by my word, it'll have no effect on them whatsoever. He said it'll have no effect on them. And what the Holy Spirit here is saying is, what the Holy Spirit is saying is, even though the economy, like what prophets are saying right now, is that there may be some states in the United States that might be not friendly toward Israel, or they might be real liberal, and they're going to start suffering financially. And there might be other states in the United States that loves Israel and loves God, and they're a God-fearing state, and they have a good governor and good legislature, and they're trying to please God, and they're just going to prosper and get all kinds of new businesses and everything. The Holy Spirit said, just as that's working like sheep states and goat states in the United States, he said the same thing's going to happen in a city, that whoever tithes and obeys me and loves me and serves me, I will pour out my favor on them and my blessings upon them. And nothing can thwart my blessings on these people. They're going to be a demonstration to everyone around them what it means to be a child of God. So I want to encourage you right now in Jesus' name, God is about to bless your socks off right under the devil's nose.
That's so encouraging. That's exactly what, you know, that God's been sharing with us. That's what we're hearing from Rick Joyner and Morningstar Ministries, and those are hearing from the Lord. Listen, don't panic. You're about to be a sign. You're about to be a wonder if you're abiding with God. Jesus said very specifically in John 15, 5 through 7, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, or abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Think about this. He says, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Just like God provided for Israel in the wilderness, the manna that came down in the morning, the shade, and when everybody else is hot, they were covered. God's going to take care of you if you stick with God. You begin to abide with him. If you don't know how to abide with him, you want to begin to abide with him. You know Jesus, but you want to abide, learn how. We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today. Listen, if you're walking in obedience and abiding with the Lord, hearing his voice, relating to him, he's got you covered. That's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back, VFN Radio, VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we were talking about testing, trials, going through it, and how these tests and these trials are oftentimes, really always, set up by God. He has no problem with that. He has no problem with that because the test is about preparing us. God already knows what's in our heart. It's for us to know what's in our heart.
Right.
There's a testing period that occurs, and we talked about how he led the Israelites, you know, for 40, you know, period of time in the desert for 40 years to humble them and to cause them to actually hunger, physically hunger, to realize that he was what? The provider. Yeah. He was the one. He had real bread. A bread that they knew nothing about. Mm-hmm. A bread that their forefathers knew nothing about. He was painting a picture, if you will, giving a type and a shadow and using them for what's getting ready to happen in, you know, in the future. And so we talk about the importance of it and what the number 40 means in the Bible. It's a time of testing, a period in life and seasons, and it's the transition from one time to another. And when you go through it, it's you realize that there's several important things about the test that you realize. You know, the first thing you realize is, have I learned anything? You know, so you take the test. The test is the revealer.
That's
it shows,
important.
Did I learn anything here? You know, I wasn't a good test taker in school. I just wasn't. I didn't do good in tests. But I'm praying that I can do better today, you know. But did you learn anything? The second thing is, if we have learned of the Lord, right, then the result is, you know, we passed, right? We passed. We learned something. We passed the test. And when we pass the test, that produces confidence. It produces confidence in God and his ways. It encourages us to say, man, I took God's word. I implemented it. I practiced it in my life. I built on the right foundation. And when the storms and the tests and the trials came, you know, by the grace of God, we were able to pass and make it through. We were tested. We were tried because of the implemented, practiced word of God in our life. You know, you've got to implement God's word. You can hear it 10,000 times. You can hear messages.
You got to do what it says.
You got to do what it says. Yeah.
And you know what happens when you don't pass the test?
What happens?
You get to take it again.
You get to do it again.
Again.
Isn't that amazing? God is so patient.
He
has no problem giving it to you again.
So if you see the same mountain twice, you might have to start asking yourself a question. I've seen this before.
It's an open book test.
Oh, thank you for reminding us.
Yeah,
there's the answers right there.
There's the answers. Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. But the amazing thing is, though, is sometimes it's like you're looking for an answer, but it's the test that's going to guide you to it. Because all of a sudden it's just like you were, and I look at what you're sharing, John, just like to produce that humility, to produce that hunger, to remind us, what are we truly dependent upon? Because sometimes it's just like when we're in between tests, sometimes it's just like we can begin to look away. Or all of a sudden, God's like, okay, you need to be reminded who's providing for you. And you're like, oh yeah, thanks, God.
Oh,
thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
And he loves us enough to allow us to go through that, to remind us.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, yeah.
It also encourages us to learn more.
Yeah.
More and quickly. When you pass the test, you're like, man, I got that. That's so good. Oh, thank you, Lord. Your word is the truth, Father. Your word is the truth. Yeah. I want to learn more of you and more of your ways because I see that when the storms and things happen, you're preparing me. You're bringing me into a space. And I just love honoring you and your word. It just all works out, God, right? It gives us the confidence. It gives us the confidence that we can be ready for the next wave.
That's right.
It gives us the confidence that, again, we may not know what tomorrow holds, but because we've practiced and implemented the word of God in our life, hey, when the wave comes, because we've built our home, our life, our ministry, our business, what have you, on the word of God, not on the quoted word, right? Not on the recited word, But on the practiced, right. The practiced word. I mean, it's just, I can't get away from that because, you know, you hear 10,000 things. It's like, are you living any of this stuff? Right. I know this sounds good, but are you living it? This is in your life.
Right.
We want to see it in our life. And oftentimes, God will give us pop quizzes daily. Mm-hmm. You remember those pop quizzes that your teacher had?
No, I used to hate those.
You're not, you know, it's a pop quiz. And God will give us those daily to prepare us for the test. He's so good.
Mm-hmm.
He's not giving you a pop quiz that day just to mess you up. He's giving you the pop quiz that, in fact, you might have just had one just now. He's giving you the pop quiz so that you can practice how you can implement
mm-hmm.
the word of God in your life. So you can practice and say, oh, this is an opportunity where I can be quick to listen, mm-hmm. slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You say, oh, yeah, oh, this is an opportunity. You know, listen, faith is one of those kingdom principles mm-hmm. that we have to pass to walk with God. It's all about passing the test. You got to pass the test. You mm-hmm. got to pass the test. The whole nature of faith is believing to have or to receive something that you don't presently have or received. That's the whole nature of faith. You're believing for something that you don't have. Okay. That requires faith. You got to believe it. You got to receive it. My goodness, let me tell you something. There's tests that are coming. But you can't pass it in your own strength. You're going to be able to pass it with the Lord, believing on His Word, implementing God's Word in your life, practicing it, and moving by faith. We're going to continue this conversation in our next program. You don't want to miss it. Catch us. Join us. Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Cordova Lanes in Pensacola. Not just your ordinary bowling alley. It's your community center that is perfect for family gatherings, school field trips, church socials, networking opportunities, and so much more. Come visit and strike with us today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape. He'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com. But don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up. And every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program. Uh-huh. And you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. Mm-hmm. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself and also sign up a friend.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and it is a big link right there in the middle that says visit our sponsors. I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service,
mm-hmm.
and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, in Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm John Ramos, and joining me today in the studio is Pat.
Hello, hello.
And Steve.
Hola.
Hello. We want to welcome all of our VFN Radio viewers and listeners on Christian Television News Network and on the radio. Listen, we are excited to be with you today. And if you missed any of our programs, you want to catch them. In our previous program, we were talking about, we're going to jump right into it because this is exciting, about the testing of our faith. You know, we're actually realizing that we could have joy and anticipation for these tests in times past, these tests have represented not so many fun experiences. Uh-uh. But we realize that God has us on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a relationship. And we walk with God, and God wants us to grow in maturity, in love, and with Him until Christ, mm-hmm. Christ is fully formed in us. And He will give us these pop quizzes so we can practice,
mm-hmm.
and then He'll give us tests, mm-hmm. so that we can see what we've learned, and we'll grow in confidence in that. And I think about James, Steve. Can you read James 1, verse 2?
Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you.
Man, that's awesome. Man, you read nice and slow. I like that because I read fast. But that's right. Yeah. I mean, that's so good that the testing of your faith, it produces something. Mm-hmm. It produces that perseverance, the maturity, the growth in your mm-hmm. life. And you'll realize that you won't lack anything because God is preparing you. He's molding you and He's right. shaping you. And that's the thing about faith. Faith is like I said, one of those kingdom principles that we must learn. We must learn to walk with God. And the whole nature of faith is believing and receiving something that you don't presently have. So don't despise. Listen, don't despise not having or possessing something, whatever that may be, whether it's physical or a material possession or something you want to see grow in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't despise that. Understand that it's just an opportunity. It's a test for you to practice mm-hmm. your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, listen, you can't be healed unless you've been sick, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so you're a candidate for healing. Ding, 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 ding. You're a surprise candidate for healing. You can't know that God is Jehovah Jireh, uh-huh. your provider, until you've been in the area of need,
yeah.
until you've had experienced some lack in your life. And once we go through these trials, once we go through these tests, we can encourage others to say, listen, God is faithful.
Yeah.
God is faithful. He will raise you up. He will grow you up in Him. He will mature you, and He'll prepare you along the way. And God is, He is so good.
Well, it makes me think about what you have said many times before. It's just like, allow God to make your message, or allow God to turn your mess into your message.
Mm.
And you think about, I think, kind of the same understanding. It's just like you have to go through the test to have that testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so often I know me personally, this is like I look around and I see those powerful men and women of God who are just steadfast and a rock in the Word of God. And the thing is, it's like you see that, you see Jesus in their lives, and it's like, wow, I want to grow up to be just a man of God or a woman of God. It's just like, go through something. Allow God to work out that maturity in you, because you know that the testing of your faith is going to bring you to that place of maturity in God.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of people want a testimony, but they don't want to go through the test.
That's right.
All they got is the monies. Yeah. You got to go through the test. Yeah. You got to go through the fire. You got to be willing to go through so that you can get to the other side. But here's the thing. You're not going to get to the other side in your own strength.
Amen.
It's always going to be with humility and dependency upon the Lord and in the practice word of God in your life. Mm-hmm. And together, God wants to walk this thing with you. He's designed you for relationship. It's not about, okay, he's not standing on the other side and saying, I'm pushing you through this. He says, no, son, daughter, we're going to go through this together. I'm here for you.
Praise God.
We're going to mature you in this process, and you're going to help others to make it through. Mm-hmm. Listen, we can do this. Don't despise the day of testing. God is preparing you for your next season in him, and it's going to be good. Once you've passed the test, listen, you can't stay in the fifth grade forever. Mm-hmm. You need to be challenged and brought to another place, a new level. There's a new season suddenly for your life. Get through this test. Put them things away. It's time for old things to pass away and new things become new. Listen, when you were a child, you thought like a child, spoke like a child. It's time for you to be a man, be a woman of God, and go on to do great and awesome things for the Lord. This is your season.
That's right.
Is your season. Steve, talk to us. I know that God's been sharing with you some things in your abiding time, and I know that you're just so full of it. You know, tell us, man. Tell us.
In a good way.
Well, I mean, God, I'm just so hungry. And, you know, God's been speaking to me of just how Jesus has responded to hunger. Mm. And it's just like, as you see those encounters and you see those differences and the people that were just trying to figure out God, like you were saying earlier, and those that were just hungry for Jesus, it's like, that's when those just powerful things happened. And I was reading this morning in Matthew 19, and it says that large crowds follow Jesus. Mm. And I look at that, and it's just like, imagine the people that are running, and imagine the people that, you know, you think about, it's like, if you look at like a concert, or you look at somebody that's trying to get to the front row, and they're trying to just make themselves through the crowd, or they want to get that close seat, or they want to touch Jesus, or the lady that touched the robe of Jesus that was hungry. If I could just get to him. Mm-hmm. And I think about that, and just the very picture of a crowd, but it says large crowds followed him. And he healed them there. And it's just like, I look at how there's so much in that one sentence that the word doesn't exactly say, but it just says Jesus healed the crowds. And to think about the hearts of a crowd, and it's just like the people that are just hungry to know Jesus. But the amazing thing is, though, as you continue reading in that scripture and you look at the absolute opposite of an encounter in that same situation, that as Jesus is healing crowds, not just individuals, but he's mm-hmm. healing the whole crowd. In verse 3, it says, some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to, you know, and it's basically, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? But what just so jumped out at me, it was just like, amidst the healings, amidst the miracles, amidst eyes being opened and the lame walking and the dead rising and Jesus laying hands on people and daughter, son, your faith has made you well, uh-huh. your faith has healed you, is that we can so quickly, it's just like someone can come up and just say, Jesus, this is what the word says, and it's just like completely miss it. Mm. And it's just like there's a healing in your life or there's go after God, and it's just got to be in our hearts and the hunger and it's so often I've heard before, it's just like God responds to hunger.
Yes, he does.
He so responds to hunger, and it's just like in me, it's made me just cry out to say, God, show me how hungry I am. Reveal to me the hunger that's in me. And it just makes me think about that that message in Matthew where Jesus is on the Mount of Olives, and he's saying that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. And it's just like, Lord, I want to just know how deeply hungry I am. How hungry, God, I want to know just how awesome you are. And it's just take away all those things that I think I need. And it's just like just that daily word that comes from your mouth, God. And what is so exciting to me, and it's just like you share the word, and sometimes you don't see that immediate response. But you know that God, that people are eventually gonna respond in hunger, because those testings are gonna happen in others' lives. And you're going to realize all of a sudden they're going to be hungry. And it is so exciting to think about, like we were talking earlier, of those waves, of those suddenlies, of those people that are going to just come in crowds, and they're going to come to Jesus. And that's the thing. It's just like having that fresh word, having that fresh manna. And it just gets me so wrapped up in just thinking about people are going to respond to our hunger for Jesus. And that's they're right. going to say, man, like I can just see that fire. Just right. You just want to talk about Jesus. And I just get wrapped up and just expectant of just like we have that perspective. We have that just like he's so awesome.
Yeah.
To know that day is coming. That there's going to be crowds that are going to want to know him.
Yeah.
There's going to be crowds that are going to say, what must I do?
Yeah.
What do I have to do to know him? What do I have to do? And it's just, it's exciting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Spiritual hunger is so much different than physical hunger. You know, physical hunger, that you know, you don't have anything to eat, so you become hungry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing about with spiritual hunger is that the more you eat, the more you...
The hungrier you get.
Yeah, the hungrier you get. The hungrier you get. Hunger produces more hunger.
Yeah.
Spiritual hunger. And that's where God moves, man. Yeah. I love what you're saying and what God's sharing with you, because that's the place for us to be. Listen, need doesn't move God.
Yeah.
All the, you know, belly aching, crying, you know. All the, listen, hunger. Yeah. Get hungry for God and watch him show up and just pour out in your life.
And that's what's really exciting, because I was thinking back recently on my abiding time, and God even said to me, it's just like, as children in Africa, as children who are in poverty respond to bread and water, people are going to respond to my word. Mm. They're going to respond to my name, because a lot of times it's like you have that religious encounter, but then you have that hunger encounter that just says, I just want to know him. Mm. Son of David, have mercy on me, God. I need you. I don't need another house. I don't need another job. I don't need, you know, fill in the blank. I just want Jesus, because he created us. That longing in our heart, it's only going to have that fulfillment when we know who Jesus is.
And isn't Jesus enough?
Oh, God.
I mean, is he not enough? Why do we need anything else? Why do we need the 60-inch? Why do we need the car? Why do we need the house? Mm. Is Jesus enough? That's one of the blessings of lack, by the way. When you lack so-called material things, you really see what your life is really made of. You really realize that if that new Alpha is going to make you happy, you're going to realize if that new car is what's keeping you joy. Mm-hmm. You're going to realize if it's that house or that relationship. Let me tell you something, nothing, right? Understand that nothing can make you so satisfied and so joyful than Jesus.
Amen.
You know, that's all you need.
Yeah.
That's all you need. I think about Proverbs 27:7 that says, he who is full loathes honey. Loathes, that word means disgusted. He who is full loathes, disgusted with honey, something that's pleasurable. But to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Listen, you may be going through bitter situations in your life. You may be going through all these different things. You can go through them when you're so hungry for God that you say, listen, it doesn't matter what happened to me. It doesn't matter that I lost this. It doesn't matter that I lost that. I'm just hungry for God. I'm happy to be in this place where, you know what? You know, you can't say that Jesus is all, you know, all you have until he's all you got. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is that moment in your life. And Steve, I'm excited because, you know, once we're stirred up in this hunger, just, I can hear it, man. And just what's going on in your life, it stirs others' hearts to hunger and to thirst for him. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about this. But my goodness, are you hungry? Are you still hungry for the things of God?
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcasts.
Well, I do want to say that I had an epiphany.
You okay?
Yeah, it was a moment. It was a moment that when I was checking to see if my shoes were untied or not, and then I had to get a mirror to find out.
They were down
there. They were down there, right. I just had to have faith that they were down there. No, it's not like that. But, you know, you just get to that point, literally. You know, this is a mounting of obstacles there, that you have to say, you know what? I am going to, by God's grace, in view of his mercy, begin to resize myself.
That sounds painful.
Yeah. Well, you know, Pat's just challenging this, isn't he, Chris? I mean, he's coming in here. He squeaks when he walks now, you know, he's like running in place while we're on the radio, just trying to just sweat things off. And it's like, you're really making this feel really bad.
Really, bad.
Really, really, really bad. When he eats, he's like a half quarter of a sandwich or something with a piece of lettuce on it or something. Right. He chews on it really loud.
I know, I've seen the size of those sandwiches, but are they big? I'm still, they are.
How does that work? We eat less.
I know it. Yeah. And he's like, he eats. I can't tell you how many times a day he eats. But it's a lot. Like, it's way
but
more.
But if you add
I
it
do.
All up, it's, you know, that's insignificant.
It must be. And Chris and I are deceiving ourselves somewhere along the line.
Somewhere along.
Trying to figure this out, you know. Somebody says, well, I eat salad bars. Have you seen the salad bar lately?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's like, anyway. So I appreciate all your prayers out there as I take this journey of following the doctor's orders, which you probably heard years ago when I talked about it. I've decided now is,
that last
time,
year?
Now is the time. What happened, instead of losing that weight, I just lost the doctor.
Got me another one.
Yeah, well, actually, I did. I didn't do it intentionally. I mean, he got transferred, and I have a new doctor. He's a good doctor. He just came back from being in Afghanistan, serving over there, and he's back. He's a good doc. And the way I worked things out with him is I just don't go see him, and therefore everything's
okay.
You don't get any medical advice at all. It's amazing how that works. Yeah, I'm fine. So I got this little app now that you can measure the calories, how many calories you're eating, because you got to stay under a certain amount of calories, according to Pat, to be able to lose weight, like 3 calories a day, something like that.
Well, a little bit more than that.
4. And and so you got to write down, you just have to write down, I guess, the calories that you would eat or ingest. And really, I mean, obviously from my history, you know, I got a chance in the past to work with a trainer that way past, and ignorantly, we don't know about our food. We just don't know what we're eating, because sometimes we're eating stuff and we're thinking, what's the big deal? This is just ice cream. and we don't realize how many calories are in like cheese or something, or tater chips sprinkled over cheese. Tater chips are evil.
They are very
calories. Huh?
Oh, they're terrible.
And if you have a chip in your mouth right now, Jesus loves you. Don't worry about it.
Put it down.
Step away from the bag. Put it down. And you're only lying to yourself. And believe it or not, I don't eat chips. So you count your calories, and so you would have to write that down. But now they have an app for that. And you just... you point it at yourself, take a picture, and it says, you're fat. No.
You scan yourself.
You scan yourself. It's like, oh, my goodness. You got to be careful. You never know what these phones are going to do. It's totally amazing. So I just have, if there's any, anyway. So the, but, you know, I remember this app you know, years ago when it was first getting started, it had a abacus thing in it and stuff to be able to slide little stones over when you'd eat something. But now it's so efficient that if you have a barcode on the side of a package, what you're about to eat, you just snap it and it knows what you're eating.
Yep.
And it, you know, what, how many you're eating of that stuff, which is great because that's the big thing is trying to take the time to write that stuff down.
Exactly.
And, so I started and embarked on this journey. So if I want to find out what's happening with Eddie, I know Eddie's on insanity. He's doing the insanity thing.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. I mean, he's been real quiet about it, yeah, you know, yeah. But we'll see soon.
We will.
We'll see soon when he's on the beaches down here. He's like, how's the insanity going?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we were talking about, my goodness, on the break, Eddie, we're going to find out what's going on with this insanity. We're going to find out what's going.
I don't think anything.
You heard him now. He is now on the Gulf Coast. We got him down here, and we're going to see him here soon. And I'm going to find out what's going on with this insanity because Pat says you're in shape, but
anyway.
In a shape, not you know. Well, we'll just have to check that.
Gordon
out.
John.
We'll just have to check that out. We'll have to check that out. Well, listen, you know, I love artistry and artwork and all that type of stuff, but I want you to listen to Jeff Bethke as he talks about the greatest artists. Man, art is such a beautiful thing and creativity, and we could talk hours about it, which we don't have today, but my goodness, I want you to listen to him as he just shares about the greatest artists. You'll enjoy.
A guy came up to me the other night, right? And he was like, who's your favorite artist? And like most people do when they ask a question, he didn't really care about my answer and proceeded to tell me what he thought the true answer was. And he continued about his struggle to recognize who he said was the greatest of all time. He said, I mean, is it Shakespeare? Is it Frost? Picasso? Michelangelo? Is it the Beatles? Rembrandt? Michael Jackson? Beethoven? And he went on and on and on about who he thought was the greatest, not recognizing even his infrastructure to answer that question was misled and outdated. And so finally, I kindly smiled and said, okay, sir, you asked me who is the greatest of all time. Now you tried to share yours, so let me share mine, because there's no debate about who is the greatest, because all those other artists you mentioned, yeah, the greatest made them. And see, this artist, he's a beast. A lion, the name above names. You don't even realize it, but you encounter his art every day. And he deserves all of the acclaim. He deserves all of the fame because all other artists pass away, but he remains. Oh, by the way, his name is God, Yahweh, creator, your maker. He's infinitely creative, sir. There is no one greater. And I can tell it looks like you're starting to get mad at me, but don't be jealous just because your favorite artist might bend words and my favorite artist bends galaxies. See, in the palm of his hand, he holds all the sand, the author of life, when he whispered, let us make man. See, what if I told you that you are God's poetry? You were created because someone else was creative. See, long ago, he picked up his eternal paintbrush, dipped it in his glory, placed us in his story, and said, they will live for me. And I know it sounds outlandish, but we're not the product of random chances. And in fact, we're not even the vine. We're actually the branches. In the same way, we're not the artist. We're actually the canvas. Because in an instant, God started to make art, shaped you uniquely and beautiful, individual from the start. And he touched the canvas of flesh and said, this one is better than the rest. I'll give him so much of my image. So even when they're hot off the press, you can still see the steam of my breath. And so he crafted and he made every arm and leg, ligaments, tendons, muscles, blood vessels, veins, arteries. He said, they're going to have a part of me. And about that time, the guy butted back in and said, that sounds good and all, but I'm wretched and filthy. God won't use me, will he? And I said, ah, see, that's what's awesome about God. No matter what we've done, he can still use us. Even though other artists, once they have broken equipment, they start to make excuses. God instead doesn't refuse us, and neither does he accuse us. He redeems us in Jesus, promises never to lose us. So stop saying that you're dirt. Stop saying you're scum of the earth. You ought to be careful about how you talk about someone else's work. Because if we've trusted in Jesus, we can stop saying we're filthy. I mean, all that is anyways is just pride clothed in false humility. I mean, if we only believed that we're truthfully created in His likeness, then we'd stop saying we're wretched, filthy, shameful, guilty, but instead knowing if we've trusted Jesus, we're righteous. I mean, don't you see we're drawn to repentance because of His kindness? So how dare you call yourself worthless when He says you're priceless? But see, the best part is since God is ultimately for God, He'll get glory out of you whether you like it or not, because even temple ruins point to an architect, even if the temple is shot. And all I'm saying is that He's behind it all. So why do we insist on giving Him no credit at all? I mean, He's the one that gave Van Gogh the imagination that changed the face of painting. Tell me, who else is responsible for Mozart being able to compose at age 5 without formal training? See, He made the fingers that Beethoven used to make art on the keys. For Pete's sake, He made Stevie Wonder one of the best musicians of our time, and He couldn't even see. And that's why, in the same way that our lives are borrowed time, this poem is borrowed lines, because the most ridiculous statement we could ever say is that this poem is mine, because we're not self-sustaining. No, we're not self-creating. Technically, nothing we do is original. We're just imitating, and that's not a diss. All I'm trying to say is this, even our own creativity is nothing more than an outflow of His. And so I'll end with this. You know that quote about giving credit where credit is due? Well, if that's true, it's about time we give God His rightful credit too. Because He's a God in the business of making old things new. And here's the truth, He's not through with making a masterpiece of you.
We're going to leave you with this. You're okay. Because God doesn't create junk. And with that, you should be very, very happy. You are His masterpiece. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.